Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello all, and welcome to episode 34 from Long Distance to Marriage. Today we have something a little bit different for you. Last week, you may have seen, if you follow us on social, that we did an Instagram live focusing on visas. So what we did is we actually recorded that live, the audio for it, and we've turned that into an episode for you for this week. So if you weren't able to tune into the live or you missed it on our stories for the day after, you will still have all the information here that we did there. We asked for a lot of questions on Instagram or through emails for people. So you might notice that we're addressing people and reading out questions. That's because it's all based through the live. So hope it all makes sense. We tried to edit it so that any kind of confusing bits were out. But let us know if you have any further questions. You can always email them or message them to us. Hope you enjoy and hope it's helpful. Hopefully you can see this, but...
and hear this.
But K-Pick said... is an in-person interview required? If so, how long after lodging?
I think lodging the visa request. Oh. So we did one, but we did it in this...
no, that wasn't part of the visa thing. So the answer to this is it depends. So I didn't have to do any in-person interview when I immigrated from America to the US. I think the UK at the time, bearing in mind this was 8 years ago.
Well, it was a different government...
well,
as well, different UK government, so certain rules have changed. I'm just giving some context.
Do your laws change every time?
Those laws have changed.
Oh, that's ridiculous. So yeah, I didn't have to do an in-person interview. I think at the time the UK was quite relaxed with US citizens applying, but it depends. Like Rich, through a different process, not through like a relationship or marriage visa. He and his family applied for residency in Canada. And did you have to have an interview for that? I know that we've looked into the process for if Rich ever wanted to apply and like for us to move to California or anywhere, wherever in America, that he would have to have an interview. We've seen that in paperwork. So sometimes it is. My guess is that it would be a while after applying for the application. Again, depending, excuse me, on where you go.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning
that
the process for us was really quick.
Yeah.
So...
well, I paid an expedition fee.
Going from the US at the time, we had the option of expediting it. So, I don't know how much it cost, but basically...
I think it was like $600.
They told us not to apply longer than 3 months out, so it wouldn't take... 3 months from the beginning, and then if you paid, it would be done quicker. And it was turned around, like Thursday to Tuesday or something.
Within a week.
It was done. So they're not all going to be like that. And I know they said that's only because it was US to UK. The UK viewed America favorably.
Yeah. And also, just to clarify, the kind of visa that we applied for initially was a fiancé visa. So it let me stay in the country for 6 months while we planned our wedding and stuff with the intention to get married. So, like, I think because sometimes, obviously, customs can be a bit weird. So if you come into the country and you say, like, oh, I'm here to marry someone, and you don't have the documentation that you're doing that the right way, that can be looked upon badly.
Yeah, and then we did need to have interviews. So when you moved here...
that wasn't part of the visa. That was just for the marriage.
Was it?
Yeah.
That wasn't for the second visa?
No.
Okay, well, anyway, so there were three visas involved.
So far.
Well, three stages. So there was the one to get here, and then Andrew was given a 6 month window for us to get married, and you weren't allowed to work in that time.
Mm-mm.
And then once we'd got married, we had to get another one to prove we'd got married.
So we had to send like our marriage certificate and I think like a joint bank account or something.
Yeah, so we had
to
prove it. And then 2 years later, we had to do another one to prove we were still married. So I guess just to prove that you didn't just marry me to get into the country and then find someone you really wanted to be with. What do you mean, no working? Oh, you can't work on the visa?
Or does she mean for a working visa, like a visa for a job?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what... your visa was the fiancé visa. But if you get a working visa, you'll be allowed to work.
Yeah.
So it depends. I mean, that's the...
I don't know if that's what that question means, though.
What do you mean?
Oh, no, I don't know.
We didn't have to get a sponsor.
Do you mean if you're coming on a work visa?
To the UK? Yeah, Andrew wasn't allowed to work on
you
the
You can't work
visa.
On a fiancé visa.
I don't know why.
You just can't. Got married and we sent for the proof that we were married, you know, after our wedding, I then had to apply for, once that visa came through, then I had to apply for a national insurance number, which is kind of like a social security number in America. I don't know what other countries call it.
What was the process? Because I know now one of the things they've tightened up is proving that you've got someone supporting you here or you've got money and savings. Did you have to do that then?
Yeah, so they checked. They said you had, for the fiancé visa, they said, you have to prove that you have sufficient funds. They didn't give me a number. I think I had like maybe $4,000 in my bank account and that was fine.
I know that's got harder now.
But they also had to prove, I think we had to get a letter from your mom and your stepdad that we were living with also saying that I could be supported because Rich had just started his own little business. So in some countries that may be called a sponsor. But yeah, you need to prove in some way that if you're not working, because you can't on a fiancé visa, depending on the country you're going to, they'll typically want some sort of maybe...
They don't want you going on the state.
Well, you're not allowed to. I wasn't allowed to go on benefits for the first 2 years. So usually, I don't know if the term is always sponsor, depending, but you need to prove that someone can support you until you can work. But I do know that the fiancé visa stuff has changed a little bit. Since we did it, because like I know my friend who came maybe a year and a half later, it was like a different amount of time and stuff. So it's probably changed. And no, we haven't applied.
We've looked into it.
Well, let's answer the question. We haven't
applied, but we've looked into it and we do know that it was a harder process.
Yeah. The process is different at the time because it was very easy for me to get here 8 years ago.
But even now, so, I mean, Angie didn't have to do a medical to come here. You have to do a language test to come here. Like, it was pretty easy.
Well, not to get here, but to stay here, I had to do a language test.
Okay, but to apply. So for me to go to the US, I'd have to have a medical blood test. I think there's probably an interview.
There is an interview.
Probably the same thing. We'd have the same thing where, because Andrew's family's out there, we'd have somewhere to stay. But yeah, it is harder to get there than here, and I'm sure that's part of the... It wouldn't have been done in a week. I think it would probably take about... From what I've heard, it's about a year. As a married couple, I think the US is kind of notorious for taking its time on visa applications.
From what we could tell at the times that we looked, it was more difficult for someone from the UK to get into the US than vice versa. And that was a big deciding factor for why I came here.
Are you doing the reverse to the US?
Actually, I didn't have to take a language test. I had my US pass or birth certificate was enough to hold on.
Yeah, there would have been a language test.
Yeah, but because I'm from an English speaking country, my birth certificate was considered proof, and then I didn't.
And
when
you taught English.
That doesn't matter.
That counted.
Did it?
Yeah, because you'd proved that you could speak English to a decent level because you taught English and you were from an English speaking country.
I may have written that, but my birth certificate was all I needed. And then when I had to take the life in the UK test to get my indefinite leave to remain, which is basically like what they would call a citizenship test, even though I wasn't applying for citizenship, first I had to do indefinite leave to remain. Which means I can stay for the rest of my life. There is an English test, but again, because I'm from a US or an English speaking country, I just had to take like the normal, like English history and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's probably time to move on to the next question.
Does that answer your question?
I think there's a big delay.
You think so? Okay. Okay, I don't know if anyone can see these questions, but did we use an agency or a solicitor to help with the visa application? Was it helpful? Any recommendation? We didn't, but what we did do was...
phoned the embassy a lot.
Yeah, so when we were applying, there was the option... There was basically a really, really expensive phone number we could call. And sure, it's good we did, because part of it was we were just a bit nervous and stupid questions that had... simple answers, but there were some where we thought the wording was a bit ambiguous, mm-hmm. and we called and the clarification was the opposite to what we thought, so that came in really helpful. Yeah.
But no, we didn't use anything. I have, again, my same friend who moved here like a year after I did to be with her boyfriend. They did use one, and I know that she felt like it took a lot of weight off her shoulders. She wasn't worried about feeling things out wrong. And we went on vacation last summer and met a couple where the guy was from America and the girl was from England, and he moved here. And he said his application was declined twice because he filled something out wrong. So we couldn't recommend anyone specific because we don't know anyone. We didn't use one ourselves.
I think if you're not confident and if you can't afford time or money, whatever, to have it rejected over just an administrative error, then if you can afford a solicitor or an agency or whatever,
lawyer, immigration,
seek
lawyer.
It. But at the same, if you can't afford it, places like expat forums are going to be really good because you're going to have a lot of people there who've done it. They'll be able to give you some degree of advice. I think that might be worth exploring if you couldn't afford to do it. But yeah, I would say don't do it all on your own if you don't have to.
Yeah, because literally ticking one wrong box could mean rejection. And they are very clear about that.
And depending where you're going, I mean, he said he came here, it took him a couple of times. I don't know if somewhere like the US is more stringent. Like, if you're rejected once, you have to wait 10 years. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So, next question. Do you know anything about spouse and stepchildren visas? I mean, it depends where. Spouse is what we did. Stepchildren...
don't know anything, to be completely honest.
I think stepchildren, if they're legally your stepchildren, as in you're married, and then I think becomes the same as normal children, but I'm not 100%.
But that depends on the situation. So yeah, not sure on stepchildren visas, but I'm sure there's a lot of information out there.
Yeah. But spouse is what we did, what we've just been talking about.
And we've talked about a lot in the podcast too. But again, every country's different.
Next. Apparently the UK is allowing hetero couples to apply for a civil partnership. Is it worth?
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, we've legalised civil partnerships for... So basically this... we had... for some context, when he doesn't know, the UK obviously had marriages for straight couples, but gay couples couldn't get married for a long time. So instead they had civil partnerships, which was a lot of overlap with marriage, but it wasn't exactly the same. So there were some sort of benefits of marriage that were missing. And then we legalised gay marriage, and then a bunch of straight people went, oh, fuck this, I'm not religious, I don't want to get married, I want what the gay people have got. And they went, okay, so now we have the options. I don't know if that's been reflected in the visa.
I feel like there was a lot of wording for that in my paperwork. Like, if you're applying through marriage or...
Civil partnership.
So, I feel like that might be true.
That's a good point. So civil partnerships existed before they widened it for... okay.
Okay. So it's sitting with the House of Lords, so that maybe is being reviewed.
So is it not passed yet?
She said it's sitting with the House of Lords, so...
Okay. So, but going to your point, civil partnerships do already exist, and that was the route for a homosexual couple. So I'm assuming if this passes through, you'd still come through as a civil partnership. You'd just come through as a straight couple.
So maybe the wording I was seeing was for same-sex couples.
It would be if we were a lesbian couple or gay couple or whatever, then you'd have come through.
Yeah.
So I would assume that because all the legal structure is there to accept civil partnership visa applications, they'll just say, okay, they probably wouldn't question your sexuality.
So I guess the answer to that would be, it depends if by civil partnership you mean same sex, which means that might be happening now. But from what Serena said, that it looks like...
No, same sex is already happening.
Yeah, same sex is already happening. That's what I thought I said. But if you're like a guy and a girl, or a girl and a guy, it's being looked at. So stay tuned and do some research on that one.
Brexit slowed everything down. I don't know.
Oh, Brexit. Okay, next question.
Next question. Thanks, Serena. You can join our video and help. Could a business visa help me move to the UK? I have so many questions, but no space. I mean, I don't know if you're watching this, Michaela, JPEG. If you are, you can ask all your questions. Could a business visa help me move to the UK? I don't know.
What? They mean like as in starting a business?
Yeah, maybe.
Or like a work visa?
I know that like we've kind of seen that with regards to looking at what the US requirements would be. And so, you know, starting a lot of countries want the investment of entrepreneurship, but I think you need to have a certain amount of capital already.
Yeah, you need to prove.
You can't say, I'm going to come over and start a company with the money in my pocket. It's like, I've got $500,000 in the bank and I'm going to use it to invest in a company. So I think one answer is, yes, a business visa may help you. But I think equally you need to show that you've got adequate resources to... Otherwise, I suppose the paperwork... If you've got people who haven't got any money saying they're going to come and start a business, the rate of failure for new businesses anyway is really high, and they're going to have to chase up to say, did you do it? If not, you've got to go home. I think there's just a lot of administrative work involved in that. So if you've got the money, then... If you've got money, you can do anything.
You're rambling.
I'm not rambling. I'm padding out. I'm fleshing out. Rambling. Do you want to get some more questions on there?
I thought that's where they were there.
They're not all here. Only the ones from today aren't here. You've got a lot of questions for you guys.
Because people need help. Okay, let me get the next one. What was it? It was this one.
Swipe up.
Okay.
How long does a marriage visa take to process? We're looking at a visa to the US.
A long time.
So this question was from someone from South Africa. So yeah, I think a long time is probably the right answer.
Long time. And we were prepared when we kind of looked into it to see if it was something to do, that it would be a year plus from what we understand. Again, coming from South Africa, because... What you have to remember is America and the US do have really good...
America is the US.
America and the UK have quite a good relationship.
America and the US have got a fantastic relationship. They're like this.
Really close.
They're like one.
Well, America could technically be North America and South America. If you want to get complicated.
Well, South Africa's not in South America either.
No, I know. Don't be stupid. I didn't say that. So yeah, it depends obviously on kind of the agreements between the different countries.
I think it's also probably worth mentioning that what made our process a bit easier was the countries themselves, insofar as both of the countries have eradicated certain illnesses. Like there are certain things, you know, if you're allowing a native from the USA and the UK, there are certain things that they were happy to take for granted, that you can speak the language, that it's a safe country, that you probably haven't got infection of a certain illness that doesn't, you know, so we've eradicated a lot of illnesses. I don't want to say South Africa in particular, I don't know, but I think where you're coming from plays a huge part in what you're going to go through in the time period, because if there's more they require from you, then it's going to slow everything down. Whereas for us, it was, we've got a special agreement in place between these two countries, you speak the language, we don't consider you to be in a high-risk country for something like AIDS, we're happy for you to come in. What else we got?
Same person wants to know, any tips on how to not make mistakes in the process?
Yeah, like, talk to people.
Well, use the help numbers, phone the embassy, research online, and you can always get a lawyer.
And get as much as you can in writing as well, because if you have a phone, like we spoke on the phone, it was great. So if you're going to talk on the phone...
How are you supposed to get things in writing?
If you're emailing through.
Oh, they take ages to come back.
Then if you get it on the phone, either try and record the phone call or just try and make notes. So if you get through to an agent on the phone, ask them what their name is and make a log. Just open a spreadsheet and say, okay, I spoke to Steve on the 2nd of July 2019 and he told me this.
You spoke to him in the future?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I'm brilliant. I keep telling you this. I'm fantastic. Anyway, so you've got that all written down so that if it turns out, you know, later on they say, oh, you were wrong in what you said, you can pull that spreadsheet up and say, actually, Steve told me on this date at this time.
Fuck you Steve,
this is what I was told by your staff, you know. And I think if you do hit any roadblocks where they're saying you've made a mistake in the application but actually what you did was what you were told to do, then you've kind of got some comeback on that, and I think that could be really important if you do end up struggling in any areas.
Okay, same person again.
Was that short enough for you?
Sure.
Yeah.
What legitimate visa options are there for a fiancé or spouse? Well, fiancé and spousal visas would be the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's available in every country, but that's what we did is if, I imagine
this
most
countries...
This is the
same person, so they'd be going to the US.
Yeah, they've got a lot of questions. Oh, okay. Yes, so they've got, the US, you can just apply for that visa. We'll he actually be able to use his non-immigrant visa to visit while waiting? So, yeah, I mean, you can.
That depends. I mean, so I'm presuming that from South Africa to America, you have to have some sort of visa to visit. That would take some research, because for some countries you're not allowed to be in the country while you're waiting to get married, and others you are, and so that depends.
You have to apply from outside of the country.
Well, I didn't apply from outside the country because we went down the fiancé.
You did apply outside the country.
For a fiancé, not for marriage.
No, that's different. You applied for the first visa out of the... You weren't allowed to come to the UK and then apply for your visa that would later stay here, because there's an expiration date on that.
So what they don't want people doing
is coming to the country on a visa that says you have to leave on Monday, and then on Sunday you apply this visa and say, I'm going to stay. Hi, Sarah. So you have to be out of the country to apply. What yours was kind of a continuation of that first visa. It was like in three parts. You had to do it. You're not going to come here on visa, then get married, and then leave the country to prove you're still married here.
Yeah, but she's saying, can he wait in the country while visiting while he's waiting?
No, he's able to use it.
Yeah, but can he basically be in the country on his visiting visa while applying for the next stages?
I don't know.
No,
I don't think so. But that depends. But I think while the visa's in process, he's still allowed to visit.
I don't know. I wouldn't like to say.
But yeah, you can get clarification on that.
Yeah. And then someone else asked if it's a long process. Again, it depends. For us, it was literally
6 days.
You say that, but it did take 3-ish years for me to get indefinitely to remain, but that was in 3 stages. So, no, it was really quick for me.
Hang on. I think we should clarify that, because I think what people really want to know is it a long process to get into the country on the visa and be together? That's going to vary from one country and person to another. But for us, that process was 6 days. What took 3 years was for you to get the indefinite leave to live here and become a resident.
So they just said it is a long process. They didn't clarify, so I was clarifying on both options.
Yeah. Yes, it can be.
So yeah, it can be a very long process. Depends what route you go down.
But the process to be accepted to come here on the visa was quick for us. That's what I'm saying. That was a week. That one.
Okay. Is the only way to be together to get married and spouse visa or work visa? You could be a student.
Yeah, but students have to leave.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could do that. It depends on the country. Like, I know we have a friend who moved to Australia. His girlfriend at the time was Australian. They met here. She was here on a visa. He applied for a working holiday visa. So basically that meant that he could stay, I think, for up to a year and do little odd jobs. I don't think you could get, like, a real career job or anything. But then if you do a certain type of work... What are you doing?
Just looking at the filters.
A certain type of work...
Oh, no, stay in there.
You're not distracting or anything. So if you do a certain type of work in that first year, like farm work or construction work, then they'll let you stay for 2 years. And then from there, he went to do... He got a job, a work visa. Yeah. So it depends where you're going. I know Canada does working holiday.
I think it depends what you do, because... Certain countries are very favourable with certain jobs, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So he worked in IT, and I think they really wanted it. I think if you own your own business, it's easier for you to go there. I think if you stack shelves at the local supermarket, then they're not going to... You know, you're getting in on a work visa for a specific job is going to be different for you. So it depends on the country and what your profession is. But yeah, you can get on a work visa. But I know that you mentioned in Canada, they have to prove that they can hire you instead of any Canadian. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to be too specific on that.
Yeah.
Hang on, Serena's helping out again. I believe there's a non-married spousal visa in the UK. What do you mean?
Non-married.
Do you mean the fiancé visa?
Tummy's crumbling. I hope no one heard that.
Well, you've just told them.
It's okay if they know.
Okay. Long term. Oh.
Okay.
What's a long term?
You should be doing a live. You know way more about this than we do.
We can get her on. Do you want to join us?
So the next one was how long?
Hang on, I want to know about the long term dating visa.
Well, she can type, and we can come back to it.
having lived together previously, though.
Okay. That's interesting.
That is interesting. We might look into that and do an episode. Okay. We'll give Serena credit. Thanks.
It's the same person wanting to know, how long does the process take for UK, and how hard is it for people outside of the EU to get the UK visa?
I mean, well, you were outside of the EU and it was a piece of piss.
It was expensive, though, but yeah.
It was expensive, but it was expensive in three parts.
It was expensive in every part.
But it wasn't like... It's relative. It's expensive because we had no money. It wasn't like...
I had money.
But it wasn't like 20 grand. It was, what, $800, £500, £500?
It was $1,200. Maybe... I think it was $1,600 with the expediting fee. And then the second one was like $800. And then the third one was $1,000.
Yeah, so it's not cheap, but it's not like 20,000 or...
Yeah.
Or 10,000.
So again, you say outside of the EU, it depends where. Like, America was quite easy for us, but again, if you're coming from another country, it might be a lot more difficult.
I think a big factor is, as far as where the country is, I think a big factor is the health status of that nation. But also, I know one of the things that's changed is they now want to see proof of either earnings of the person who will be supporting you or your own savings. I think it's quite a lot. I think they've got to earn like £30,000 and you've got to have significant savings. Like, you wouldn't have got in on it.
Is this new, you mean?
Yeah, this is one of the things that's changed since we did it. I don't know if the US... Because what they said to us was that the UK and the US have this special relationship. It turns out the special relationship was only one way. America didn't give a shit. But they were basically means they're more lenient with people from the US coming here. I don't know if that no longer happens, but I know that one of the things that's changed is the requirements for people coming here from a financial point of view is it you have to have more in the bank, or the person who will be sponsoring you or looking after you has to earn a certain amount. And I think that can be, I mean, it's above the national average. It's pretty high.
Okay. And then, oh, Serena, what information is needed to submit a spousal visa? So is that to come to...
You tell us.
You seem to know more. So is this for someone to come to the UK? And are you planning to come to the UK? I can't remember. Okay, cool. So what we had to prove at the time...
Come to London and we'll meet up.
Yeah. We'll hang.
The information, they want your name.
Shut up. So they wanted to know, obviously... It's not just the information, it's also all the documentation they want. So, obviously, they want your name, they want your birth certificate.
I can't believe you just repeated that.
Well, I'm just saying, because it was dumb. I'm being ironic.
Okay.
They want, like, your... I think they wanted, like, financial information, and I don't think you needed to prove anything, but, like, how much you earn. They want to know how you're going
to
support yourself.
Just to give anything about your job, like P45, P60.
I don't remember if I had to give any tax stuff, maybe. They want to know how you're going to be supported while you're there. Like I said, Rich's family had to write a letter to confirm that we'd be living with them and that they would be happy to support me and stuff in their home. We also needed phone bills to prove that we'd been communicating.
Oh yeah, we had to prove that
letters,
we had been talking as long.
Emails, photos of us together. So it was like a whole portfolio. We needed to have.
I think it was just
my
a,
birth certificate.
A big wank bank for the person in the
No,
because
we
office.
Had to, we really struggled to find any emails that weren't dirty. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Listen
to our episode about nudes, and that was our situation.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot in there.
But it wasn't too difficult. I mean, they wanted a lot, but it's generally information that you're probably going to hand. It wasn't like, calculate how much you've earned over the last 10 years and give us that information.
No, but it's just a lot, and it's a lot to put together. I was, like, super organized with mine. Like, I put it, like, in a little... three-ring binder with, like, sections and notes and post-its and, like, explaining what it was and stuff like that.
You wanted to make life as easy as possible.
Yeah,
because
I wanted to make it straightforward as I could.
I mean, I don't know who's reading the visa thing, but if you've ever met, like, Border Patrol and the people who work the American Public Service, like, it doesn't really give you much hope. So make it, like, child-friendly.
Yeah. When I was a teacher, my, like, coaches always said, when you leave a sub plan, assume that it is someone, like, really, really, really fucking stupid turning up to do your lessons. So make it as user-friendly as possible. So that's what
I
tried to do.
Like, how stupid? Like, what was Adam Sandler's character in... the one where he had to go back to school?
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison. Pretend they're Billy Madison. Canada had working holiday visa. Yeah, working holiday visa, yeah.
I mentioned that already. And I said Canada did it. Do you listen to me at all? What? Ever?
No. Ow! Fuck!
I didn't even pinch it.
It hurt.
It was for show.
And everyone saw that.
Yeah. You know that I put him in line when he needs to be put in line. Yes, working holiday visas are really cool.
Yeah, we were talking about it for Australia. It may have been before Sarah joined. I said
Sarah Canada
also
did, because your sister went on. Oh, I wish
not been watching. Relax.
It's true.
Fuck.
But you just tried to take credit.
Right, next question.
I think that's it. Okay. All right. The